Reading from my glorious master, Vrindavan, 1974, by Prabhupada's house. Just after the festival ended on Gopurnima, our group traveled from Mayapur to Calcutta, then Delhi, and finally Vrindavan. The Krishna Balaram Mandir was then a construction site. Concrete pillars blossoming with steel rods looked like Kali Yuga lotus flowers. The devotees stayed at Fogla Ashram, while Prabhupada lived in his own newly constructed house on the Krishna Balaram Mandir property. Once, as I sat behind Prabhupada's house watching devotees feed the friendly peacocks, Satrup Maharaj, who was Prabhupada's secretary at that time, asked me to fan Prabhupada as he took prasad. I entered, offered my obeisances, and began fanning. Prabhupada ate in silence. When he was almost finished his meal, Prabhupada looked up at me and asked, "How do you like Vrindavan?" I replied that I liked it, but I liked Mayapur more. Prabhupada listened, but did not question or add anything further. My comment. My appreciation of either Mayapur or Vrindavan was that of a spiritual infant, and Prabhupada accepted my words with a simple nod of his head. Again, come and live in Vrindavan. Prabhupada walked on Satikara Road in the mornings and often lectured in the evenings at Fogla Ashram, but he spent his days at the Krishna Balaram Mandir site. He even took his morning massage in a roped-off section at the construction site in front of his newly built house. Jagatrini and I had some questions to ask Prabhupada, and we walked from Fogla Ashram to the Krishna Balaram Mandir. Continuing through the wood, bricks, concrete pillars, and steel to Prabhupada's house. We sat down on the black marble entranceway and waited to ask Prabhupada's secretary for a few moments with Prabhupada. Satrup Maharaj informed us that Prabhupada was in his gamsa and taking his noon massage. Seeing him now is therefore not possible, he said. We sat disappointed and glum for a few moments. Then, with a sudden wave of inspiration, we walked to where Prabhupada sat having his massage and slipped beneath the ropes. Prabhupada saw us and smiled. As soon as we raised ourselves from offering obeisances, he greeted us with, "So how do you like Vrindavan?" With eyes sparkling, Prabhupada responded, "So how do you like Vrindavan?" Prabhupada asked. Jagatrini quickly answered, "It's wonderful, Prabhupada." With eyes sparkling, Prabhupada responded, "Then you should come and live here." Jagatrini laughed and said, "You have already sent us back to Hong Kong. How could we come and live here?" Prabhupada paused and thought for a moment before replying. Then he said, "You can live here for some months each year." My coming. Prabhupada seemed eager to speak about the glories of Sri Vrindavan Dham, because Prabhupada was always experiencing the sweetness of Vrindavan, and he wanted to share that with us. When Jagatrini expressed her appreciation, Prabhupada immediately invited us to live in Vrindavan, although it was not yet practical for us to do so. Mathura Vrindavan Vas is also recommended by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as one of the five most potent forms of sadhana bhakti. Looking back, I think Jagatrini did better than I when presented with the same question. She was able to spontaneously reciprocate with Prabhupada's own affection for Sri Vrindavan Dham. Association on our terms. In his recent Hong Kong visit, Prabhupada had clearly spoken about Siddhasrupananda Goswami. But in Mayapur, even while Siddhasrupananda Goswami was present, Prabhupada neither directly corrected him nor spoke as openly as he had in Hong Kong. This confused me because I was not experienced in the subtleties of Prabhupada's way of dealing. I asked Prabhupada to again clarify Siddhasrupa's position. Prabhupada replied, "At least he is now wearing dhoti." I told Prabhupada that he wore a dhoti in Prabhupada's presence, but at other times he wore Western clothes. Prabhupada's reply seemed a conclusive judgment. Just see. My comment. Prabhupada, understanding my affection for Sudasrupananda Goswami, then gave me further instructions that would keep the association within the limits of his desire. When he and his followers come to the temple in dhoti and with shaved head, you can associate with them. Prabhupada's answer satisfied me, and I prepared to return to Hong Kong with my mind fixed on his instructions. Okay, that ends the chapter on Vrindavan 1974. Actually, it was quite a amazing visit. I was ill for most of the time. I got sick just as we were leaving Mayapur, just as we started leaving. I felt some illness coming on. It was my first visit to India. And then I was ill for most of the time in Vrindavan. And then I remember we got on a bus and with all the devotees, and we went to Radhakund for the first time, and we went to see Giriraj Govardhan for the first time. And I had a terrible sore throat. And I took some of the water from Radhakund and I put it on my throat, and my sore throat like miraculously went away. And I remember Gurudas Prabhu saying, "Oh, you have great faith." And I said, "No, I don't have faith. It just it took it away." And then, in any case, then when it was time to leave Vrindavan to catch our flight from Calcutta, we had booked a train, all of us, and a train from, I guess it was Delhi, or perhaps Mathura, to Calcutta, and the train kept getting stopped. There were strikes, and it took, instead of taking 30 hours, it took 48 hours or something like that. And it was quite an experience to be on a third class compartment with no reserved seats or anything like that. And yes, it was quite the experience. That was one of our early experiences of traveling to and from the Dhams in Vrindavan. Okay, we shall end here. And Hare Krishna, the chapter ends here. Hare Krishna.